December 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas, 2023, right here on the West Coast. It is 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am Brandon Bleasel. This is Success Never Sleeps, where week in and week out, we gather as small business owners, entrepreneurs, in particular martial arts school owners, and we really try to figure out this thing called life. You know, we want to be happy. We want to be financially free, right? We want to be healthy. Just all the things I believe we can strive and achieve if we have a clear plan based upon core values and a purpose and all those great things in life. I feel very blessed to live in this country. I feel very blessed to be in the position that I'm in. And so to not live to my full potential, as I say, live your best life, for me is a crime. It's simply a crime. So as you come aboard, say hello. We got James, Bob Poole, Ashton, what's happening, sir? As you guys come aboard, say hello, put in the name of your school, where you're tuning in from, and I'm going to take a minute to thank my sponsors. Who are our sponsors as always? We have Toussaint. It's simply one of the best when it comes to martial arts supplies. My family has had a relationship with them since the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, my papa was one of his first clients. We also have Market Muscles, Steven Reinstein and the gang. Happy holidays to my brother, too, and everybody at my studio. If you need a CRM system, they are simply the best. They are the good people. They're conscious of their product. Their strategies to improve their product are unequal. They don't hop on trends. They really make the effort to cultivate a sustainable product that I believe can be built upon and improved upon, which is inherent of any software CRM system. So I love the guys there. We have, of course, Kids Love Life Skills. We all know that character development is crucial in a martial arts school. We can do it better than soccer or baseball, t-ball, than anybody else. So along with good self-defense, good fitness, and all the rest, you need a strong life skill component. Please make no mistake. And I encourage you to check out Kids Love Life Skills. LC Accounting, my sister Letitia, she's my savior in many ways, my living proof that angels do exist. Tisha keeps me in line, keeps me in order. I make her cringe sometimes when I do spend, but overall, it's because of her that I responsibly am able to do the different things I need to do, take care of our expenses, improve the wages of my team, as well as save for my retirement, all those things, and give my family what they need. So thank you, Letitia, for that. Who else is coming aboard? Miss Monique. What's happening, Miss Monique? Everybody coming aboard, do say hello. Again, I will give away an hour of consulting like we did last week. I believe it was Valerie Fong who won that. And so we'll do the same thing. Everybody who's here, put in your name, the name of your school, where you're tuning in from, as well as post it at some martial arts group or tell another person, hey, Elizabeth, what's happening, Elizabeth? Black Dragon Martial Arts. Oh, it's Marty. Marty? I can't see that too well. And I don't want to keep putting my Marty from Tennessee. So let's talk about what we got coming up, right? May 25th through 28th, we have It's Time Live Canada. It's Time Live Canada, my first visit up to Canada, and I'm really looking forward to that. As I shared, we're going to release the opportunity to sign up for Canada before the new year, so you get the tax benefit. You need a write-off. Right now, I'm spending money. It's the end of the year versus giving it in taxes. I'd rather give it to my team in bonuses, buy new equipment, you know, make some improvements to the facility so that I reduce my taxed dollar. Super, super, super important. So again, for It's Time Live Canada, we only take 20 people for 4 days. And the 4-day experience is really kind of like the bread and butter, because 1 day is strictly training on the mat, how to teach better, curriculum design, all that. Sunday is all business, 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 because we are in what? The martial arts business. Monday is personal development, all about you. And then Tuesday is wealth building and strategizing, taking everything we've learned over the 3 days and how to make it happen. So you really want to be there. It's a unique opportunity. So that's coming up May 25th through 28th. Look for the link. I'm going to post it in the next couple of days. We also have It's Time Life Purpose. That's next November. Of course, it's right here in Millbrae, California, 5 minutes from SFO. And again, 20 people, 4 days. You know, I think we're in our 8th year, and it sells out every time. It really does, because it's such a special experience, new friends, networking, getting down to the nitty-gritty of why we're not quite where we want to be, or learning to 10x, you know, our success and take it to a whole nother level. So again, I'll release the link for that. And you're going to want to be signing up for that. Please don't miss out. Every year I have people call me, can I still sign up? I say, no, it's sold out. Yeah, but don't you got one more spot? No, that's the discipline of this event. 20 people, 4 days. Cool. All right. So, man, let's get into this thing. We're going to only run about a 45-minute show today. We were going to do a rerun at first. I decided, hey, I want to keep giving. You know, I think I do what I do because for me, the martial arts industry is my heart. It will always be my heart. Now, I grew up on a mat since the age of 5. It's always been a part of my life. I've owned schools for 24 years now successfully. It's allowed me to become an example. I've helped other people create success in the martial arts industry. It's allowed me a consulting business, a life skills company, as well as my 2 schools. So I love this industry, and to give back to this industry for me is my heart and soul. So today it's really about putting me in the hot seat. You know, I don't walk to the beat of the same drum as the majority of people. And I know some people don't like it, and that's okay. That's okay. Some people like Chinese, some people like Mexican. It's okay, you know, for me. But I realized with the advent of social media, it now allows people this other tool to go out there and criticize. That's why you have words like haters, trolls, right? They sit at social media, and that was never there before in the old days because we couldn't even reach each other unless you sent them a letter or called somebody up on the phone, right? But now with the advent of all this, it allows people that ability just to wave a magic wand and they can sit there and criticize people. And I'm okay with that. I chose a long, long time ago not to play nice. I chose that. That was my conscious choice because what I really saw for me being a school owner was all the information being offered was pretty much just regurgitated from the 1980s with a new bow on it. You know, the simple innovations that I really praise, Roland Osborne is one with curriculum development. Melody Johnson is another with her cutting edge methods of teaching children. I believe Thule with his CRM system, My Studio. I also Steven Reinstein with his innovative websites, us with Kids Love Life Skills. Beyond that, I've been in this industry for a long time, as well as I've been a participant as a martial artist. And BJJ, yeah, you know, in the past 30 years, UFC, sure. But other than that, the real tools needed for a small martial arts school owner, which makes up the majority of our industry, right around 100 students or so, it's not moving. It is not moving. I'm not talking about the handful of mega schools with 7-8 schools or franchises through ATA or the different groups. I'm talking about the majority of our industry, the mom and pop, single owner operator with about 100 students. That needle has not moved. And so I made a commitment a long time ago, and I share this story passionately. I was sitting at one of the big events in the speakers meeting, and we were discussing, you know, what stock we're buying, how many students we have, you know, the boat people were driving, their new car, you know, showing pictures. And I just sat there with myself going, this is not what I want to do. I want to change the industry. I genuinely do. I love this industry. So I realized if I want to make an omelet, I'm going to have to break a couple of eggs. And I knew once I chose that path that I was no longer going to be viewed as somebody who played nice. I realized I was going to be viewed as an outlier, which I've become in many circles. And so I'm going to openly talk about some of that today, as well as welcome all of your heartfelt questions. You know, so I'm in the hot seat. So put your questions in there for me, and do say hello. Tell me where you're tuning in from. We have Respect Martial Arts. Hey, Conrad, what's happening, sir? And like I shared at the end of this, everybody who posts in the comments and contributes and shares this show today, right now, you'll be entered into a digital drawing, and we're giving a 1-hour tune-up consultation with me. Cool? So I want to talk about the first one. The first one for me that gets a lot of controversy, and it still does to this day, was me going to Korea and speaking at Kukkiwon, right? That was a big, big thing. You know, before Kukkiwon, I spoke at a lot of the different events that were held for Taekwondo and the Korean masters, and I felt a deep, deep kinship, and I still do I still do. I have great friendships with people like Jim Nan, Chan Lee, Teho Kwan, the gold medalists, a lot of people. But fundamentally what happened, and I understand, okay, we can relate to this. You know, I got asked to go speak at Kukkiwon. I don't teach Taekwondo. I'm not Korean. And there's so many Taekwondo businesses out there that are way more successful than me. 7-8 locations, making way more money than me. So I'm stating that, and I will be the first to admit that. So I could see, because empathy is one of those life skills I truly want to master. Hey, Sensei Mish, what's up, sir? Jimmy from Molala Striking Arts. So I understand that. If I was somebody that devoted my life to Taekwondo, and my father was my instructor, and my grandfather was his instructor, and I'm running 7-8 locations, and I devote myself to all the different associations, and then this guy comes along who's not even Taekwondo, you know, who teaches Kenpo, and I'm not going to say it's racist, but I'm not Korean. Yet, I was asked by Kukkiwon to go to Korea and speak. So the powers that be didn't dig it. So organically, over that period of time, I've been aced out of speaking at other events for Taekwondo here in America and on. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'd love to keep giving. I really would, but I'm okay with that. So I understand that. And it was nothing by my doing. It just was what it was. They enjoyed my message, my brand of speaking, and what I have to do. So Kukkiwon invited me to Korea. But since that time, I do believe many of my relationships with the Taekwondo community have been alienated and strained. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I do understand why they feel that way. I miss you guys. I do. I always say that sometimes, you know, because my father was my teacher in the martial arts, I have a deep kinship. I even appreciate the senior, junior thing. I'm not a drinker at all. But I would never say no to a Korean master when he hands me soju at a Korean barbecue, on and on. So just, I want to put that out there because there's so much, I believe, talk about that in many, many ways. And for me, it's just not something I think helps our industry, betters anything. And for me, it makes me sad because I miss many of my Taekwondo brothers and sisters. But to go to Korea and speak on that stage, probably one of the biggest events for Taekwondo. I was so humbled. I was so honored and I was so grateful. So that's the long and short of that. So for anybody out there, why I'm not at these different events or why you hear in groups, you know, there's bad mouthing towards Brandon Beliso, I'm okay with it. I love you guys and I'm cool with it. So that leads me into my next one. Recently, I've been doing a lot of work with Sam On. He's Taekwondo. So just for all clarification, Sam On is not a financial advisor. Hear me? Sam On is not what? He's not a financial advisor. He's not. He's a simple school owner with 100 some odd students. But he realized, I think maybe 30, 40 years ago, he realized that he could take the money he earned in his Taekwondo and invest it in the stock market. So he's dedicated his life. I've known Sam about 4 years. Every day that man is up at the break of dawn when the market opens, he sits there with 3 computers and he actively invests and trade. So he understands the market. For me, it's like a martial artist. If I train every day, 8 hours a day, I'm going to be pretty damn good. So whether he has a financial certificate or not, you know, which is something I don't have a lot of weight with. I've worked with so-called, you know, licensed financial advisors that didn't do anything with my money. With Sam, to date, I have the most money I have ever earned, you know, in my net worth. And that is thanks to Sam On. So again, just for clarification, because I guess as we were posting things, again, people out there in the universe had to share that, you know, you shouldn't be working with Brandon and different things like that. And again, I don't know why. And it's often the, you know, I think what's most challenging about that for me, and I posted it yesterday in a short video, is that it's often the people that I would believe should be more grateful than all of us. They make more money than all of us. They're more successful than all of us. And they're in a position of influence and power that we may not be in. Yet Yet, they believe their word is lore, and it should decide what happens in this world of martial arts. And it's kind of sad for me. It's bad because, again, I bring Sam to you because I have benefited from Sam. And it took 4 years for me to endorse him. Please know that. I don't lightly just say, hey, you guys, buy stuff from this guy, or hey, utilize his services. Sam is simply a coach. And it took 4 years for me to write a testimonial. It took 4 years for me to say, okay, I'm one of his success stories now. Here I am. You guys, I want to share this with you. But make no mistake, everyone I've ever shared with you, Market Muscles, my studio, you know, have been pretty much on point, and they've really impacted and helped the industry. Everybody has their shortcomings. Nobody's perfect. No website's perfect. No CRM system's perfect. And no financial advice is perfect. But again, my relationship with Sam is worth a lot to me. A lot to me. So I publicly share that, you know, if you have a challenge, bring it to me, right? Bring that to me. Bring that to me. And again, Sam asked me just to share, he is not a licensed financial advisor. He is just a simple school owner who's involved in the market and shares that coaching with other people. Cool? All right. So those were the two big ones I wanted to share. Now I'm going to get heavy into your questions. Yeah, we've been doing Taekwondo for 21 years. Yeah, and you know it, Elizabeth, the politics can often be huge. And that's just the way it's always been. I don't know if that's ever going to change. I know politically when I was in Korea, there was even some, you know, controversy with that. There was controversy with that because they're like, whoa, who's this guy, right? And I was very, I want to applaud the person who brought me over because it was very cutting edge. It was very cutting edge to bring somebody like me to Korea. And I opened up, and I know it was rough. I opened up with, did you know the number one deaths of teens in South Korea, suicide? That's where I started. And after that, I was just, whoa, because I really wanted to bring home that whatever we're doing by itself is not enough. So whether it's Kenpo, whether it's Taekwondo, whether it's Jiu-Jitsu, it's not enough. The life skill component, you know, is really important because somewhere in the world today, a 13-year-old girl is going to decide her best choice is to kill herself because she's been cyber-bullied relentlessly and she's been worn down and everybody's failed her. Everybody's failed her. So I just truly believe if we can give them a skill set of resilience and confidence that within themselves, they can validate themselves. Because who takes action on suicide? They do. They physically hurt themselves. The yin to the yang of that is they can mentally and physically save themselves. So I'm really big on the character development aspect. And I love the six tenets, you know, of Taekwondo, but it doesn't stop there. There's so much more, so many other life skills that today's young people and all of us need to be better versions of ourselves. Yeah, you know, me too, Sensei Misha. I don't like the politics. You know, my papa, that's one of the things he taught me. He stayed away from all of it. You know, he was never part of an association. You always knew where you stood with him. And I applaud him for that. I really, really do. I get hit up with these associations all the time wanting to promote me. If I buy a table with 10 seats or put me in the, you know, some martial arts hall of fame, and I want nothing to do with it. Nothing. I don't because it's politically ridden. And for me personally, it doesn't have a lot to say. All right, here's a question. Dun, dun, dun. What was what? Let's see. What does that say, Marco? What was the main difference in attitude that you presented that the Taekwondo wasn't agreeing with? You know, I don't think they were agreeing with me or not at all. I think the fact just organically that I didn't teach Taekwondo, maybe, you know, since the event is ran by a Taekwondo group, that it doesn't make any sense. And I could see that, right? It doesn't make any sense that, you know, he's not even Taekwondo. He's not even part of our group, you know, yet he's speaking here. And I spoke for a while at all the different other Taekwondo events, Kama, Asa, and I love the guys. They're just the best people in the world, you know, but they do tend to keep to themselves and their organizations. And I understand that. I do. I really, really do. So I don't think it was anything like that at all. I was just think, you know, through a process of elimination, I'm not Taekwondo. Because beyond that, I know they use a lot of contracts and upgrades and belt fees, and I do none of that. So that might have rubbed them the wrong way too, right? And at first, I think when I started singing that song of no contracts, no upgrades, no belt testing fees, it was kind of like a unicorn thing, right? Like a sideshow. But once it got some legs and people started listening to me and my voice got bigger and bigger, it did become a conflict of interest. I understand that. I do, right? If your sales platform is contracts, upgrades, belt testing fees, built-in retail sales scripts, and this guy comes along singing another song, it's not a threat until it gains some legs. And it's done that in the industry. Today, after a decade of my consulting, you know, I have people all over the world benefiting from my methodologies and philosophies. And right, you say potato, I say potato. I don't think one way's better than the other. I think it's really about you understanding what is your purpose, what is your why. And for me, it's live your best life. And for me, it's just, I don't like sales. I would rather sell you through service. I would rather sell you through amazing classes. I would rather sell you by, you know, taking the time to talk to a parent in the waiting area without any ulterior motive. You know what I mean? So I don't think it was anything like that at all. At least I don't believe it, because I love all of them. I don't care what they say to me. I love everybody, whether you have differences with me or not. But that's my personal choice, because I need to live from love, right? I had a great discussion yesterday on a discovery call, and I said, we have two choices. We live from love and we live from fear. Under fear, jealousy, envy, right? Prejudice, racism. Take your pick. Under love, tolerance, empathy, right? Acceptance. I want to live in love, and that's my choice. So, you know, I choose not to be indifferent with anybody. And we can both agree to disagree. So that's kind of my way of answering that, because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. That's not my purpose here. What is your top 10 list of daily successful habits? What are the three most... Number one, James, is cultivating my mindset in the morning. Number one, because everything begins and ends here. And I can take one thing somebody says and run off down a rabbit hole and be messed up for the whole day. Or I can really cultivate this mindset. Now, there's a very thin line there, James, because there's a huge difference between having a core value and letting your ego and insecurity and narrow-mindedness interpret it as a core value. You with me on that? So I'm ever mindful to practice two things. One is gratitude, and I do that in my morning meditation. And number two is humility, to be humble. I don't think my way is better than anybody else's. And that's always been a big thing in the industry. My kung fu is better than your karate or this or that. You see all the Bushido websites and this guy's martial arts sucks and mine's better. And that for me is very ego-based, because on any given day, we as martial artists understand our famous technique, Unstoppable, can be defeated. On any given day, name one great athlete that's never been defeated. There you go, right? There was a time Babe Ruth was it. He had his time and he got defeated. Muhammad Ali got defeated. Manny Pacquiao got defeated, right? Some of the greatest UFC fighters got defeated. It's life. So I think for me, it's really important to cultivate a mindset of gratitude, a mindset of humility. And then above all, I'm here to serve. Service above self, James. Service above self is another one of my mantras. So by the time my feet hit the ground, I'm in that headspace. But I think often people mistaken my humility for weakness. And make no mistake, I'm a kid from the ghetto. Make no mistake, I will protect my own. And that's a big part of my life too. You know, I'm a huge advocate of turning the other cheek, but when I run out of cheeks, then that's a different set of circumstances. So, you know, I find for me that those main things, gratitude and humility. Then of course, James, you know, the habit of finishing a task one thing at a time is important to me. Making sure that every day I do the fundamentals, open the door, take the money, teach the classes. And then the other habit of moving the needle of what my business is going to look like in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years is really imperative, right? That habit of just teaching and not doing anything else is going to kill your school, because you have to market. You have to develop leadership skills. You have to cultivate your team. You have to budget. You have to plan for build outs and renovations and expansion. All of it has to be done. So it's really mastering my mindset, James, at any given moment. Any given moment is vital for me. Elizabeth, we are restructuring our and doing away with testing fees. I think so. You know, I hear from school owners all the time, Elizabeth, when it comes to testing fees, we don't want to test this cycle. That's not good. And they don't want to say, I don't have the money. Or it's maybe their silent protest. I'm tired of you nickel and dying me every 3-4 months with these testing fees, right? You hear that. Or the most uncomfortable conversation when we did offer testing fees of, excuse me, we're done testing and you haven't submitted payment for the testing. You know, it's just not a Disney experience. So we chose to eliminate it, Elizabeth. And at one point, we just all rolled it in. We rolled it in our tuition. So it's a one-stop shop. You know, we're a little bit, I think, above the national average. We're about 259, I think, or 279 for twice a week, right? On our month to month, but everything's inclusive. And that's super, super important for you. Even black belt, beautiful embroidered belt is like $40, $50 now. A nice certificate on a wooden plaque, that's another $30 plus the payroll to pay everybody to administer testing. But you know what? You earn that. Think of the thousands and thousands of dollars somebody spends with you by the time they test for black belt. So for us, it just rules out that perception of nickel and diming, plus paperwork. We have no paperwork. You know how hard it is to sit there and give testing forms and take them and do all? It's just no way, not for us. So that for me is a huge controversy in the industry. You know, people think when I say that, I'm saying you with testing fees, you suck. No, I'm not. Have all the testing fees you want. Do contracts, do belt fees. It doesn't matter because when the day's done, I don't pay your rent. I don't feed your family. Who cares what I have to say? Who cares? Right? It only matters if it resonates with you, Elizabeth. And if you're going, based upon the culture and the values of my business, of my martial arts school, I'm going to eliminate testing fees. Only then does it have any validity in your life. That's it, right? That's it. That's it. So again, people misinterpret that all the time. What are some other questions we have? Karth, it's all about following the tenets. Yeah, the first one is courtesy. Love your attitude about the situation. Yeah, I love my Taekwondo brothers and sisters. I don't care what they say about me, you know, or who they are, right? Who they are. It's perfectly fine, right? It's perfectly fine. You know, it's easy as a human being to get butt hurt over it. But if I let love dominate my thinking, then, you know, the more you hate me, the more I'm going to love you. The more you talk bad about me, the more I'm going to love you. And I'm sure you might have ran in circles where people have said things. You know, somebody called me Beanie Boy. Okay, if that's the best you can do with your college education, rock and roll there, buddy, right? If that's what works for you. And I get it, though. Like I said, I get the situation. I understand why. But I am so honored and grateful to have gone to Korea and speak at Kukyoon. I am to this day. It's one of the highlights of my life. I was picked up in a government car with the little flags and stuff. It was just, wow. I got treated like I felt like a dignitary. It was just great because, you know, I think if I'm not wrong, I think Kukyoon is a government agency in Korea. I might be, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. So what's the best advice on restructuring our curriculum? You know, I think when it comes to curriculum for me, because I'm huge on curriculum design, in my wisdom, I'm working with somebody in Kung Fu right now, another person with Taekwondo. I've worked BJJ curriculums. I've worked Shotokan curriculums. I've worked Kenpo, which is one of the hardest. And I think that's where I really cut my teeth, Elizabeth, on understanding curriculum design. You know, one of the hardest types of martial arts to teach is Kenpo. It's so complex. There's a million forms and moves and all of that. So the first thing it came down to, Elizabeth, was saying to myself that I am not abandoning Kenpo. So we have what's called dances. And they don't even call them katas or forms. They call them dances because they knew they were martial arts movement, but not necessarily self-defense. They weren't designed a lot of that. They were dances and they're hard to do. They're hard to do. And so once I made the commitment to that, then it sat about teaching things that were age specific and skill level specific. And I live and die by Michael J. Fox's saying, if a student doesn't learn the way you teach, then teach the way they learn. I think on purpose, a lot of martial arts schools had made things super hard because of ego, right? Because of ego. My black belt test is at YouTube. Take a look. You know, doing a push-up on a pointed brick that my dad, you know, carved down to a point is bizarre. Take a look. We do a thing where we grip each other's throat until somebody says, uncle. That's not safe. That's really unsafe. So I get it though, right? If we can sit there and say my black belt test takes 15,000 hours and we kick your butt and all that stuff, then, you know, we have this different sense of being with it, right? But I'm sorry, you're not kicking me in the stomach when I earn a belt. You're just not. I mean, what if I get internal bleeding? And that's not martial arts. I'm not going to stand and let somebody hit me. I'm going to block it. I'm going to defend myself. So I never got that either. I never got that either, you know, but it is what it is. So that's the main thing with curriculum design. Then, like Roland Osborne taught me when I learned about rotating curriculum, start from black belt, Elizabeth, and work back. All the things you want a black belt to know, you know, and then lay it out. I've got a really great chart for that because we have a whole system, you know, and it's laid out methodically. We're almost done administering testing to about 900 students in the past month. And it's so seamless. It's paperless, Elizabeth. It's paperless. Pretty cool, right? So again, that's a much deeper subject, and maybe we can do that for a show. We can do that for a show. You know, so when it comes to restructuring curriculum, I'm all for it. I love, because curriculum and the delivery of that curriculum is the meat and potatoes of any martial arts school. Make no mistake. And from a business viewpoint, where do we make our most money, Elizabeth? On the mat. We don't make it on birthday parties, day camps, after school, or whatever else. We make the core bulk of our revenue from teaching martial arts classes. So why not double down on that? Invest in your team, pay them better, train them consistently, honor their lives outside of your business, right? And constantly review your curriculum on a yearly basis to make sure it's relevant, up to date, right? Anytime my team comes to me and says the kids don't like this and we think it sucks, I probably need to change that curriculum, remove it, you know, rethink it, do something with it, right? I want to be mindful of that. Super important for me. Cool. Next question. Best thing I ever did was restructure my curriculum into rotating curriculum. Thank you, Sensei Mish. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Cool. All right. Let me look at this question. And remember, I'm only going to stay with you to about 11:45 today, but I love this format. You know, we'll pick it up in the new year also. I love your questions. Sometimes you see owners lose their passion for martial arts and it affects both their teaching and business acumen. What can you do to help them? You know, it goes back to a mindset thing. It really does. A work-life balance, we talk about that a lot, but I just saw on TV the CEO of Wayfair telling his people, you got to work longer hours and work harder. I think the yin to the yang, we've gone to the way, 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 way over here where everything's work balance and this Me Too. And I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying there needs to be a balance. When does Me Too become We Too? When does Me Too become us? What does Me Too become How About You Too? Right? So there needs to be a balance in that. So there is me time. I take me time for me every week to prevent burnout. You know, I'm only teaching 2 days a week now, again, by the grace of God, and my team's all healthy and everybody's back. But I would teach 5 days a week because I love teaching. But I get a massage every week. You know, I meditate. I do certain things to help me endure the stress and endure, you know, what comes with being a small business owner. Because make no mistake, you've chosen to do the hardest thing in the world. You're a small business owner. That's it. That's it. That's it. So a lot of what I find builds grit for me is when I'm faced with a challenge and I'm able to elevate and work through my challenges. And it's easy to be great when things are going your way. Hard to be great when life is difficult. That's what builds character. That's what makes us better people, in the words of the Dalai Lama. So I want to be mindful of that in this case too, that everything I do helps me, you know, maintain that sense of balance. But make no mistake, you're going to burn out. You're in the toughest, you made the toughest choice in the world. You can't call in sick. You can't. So again, burnout, I think, is very unique to each individual. And for me, when I wake up in the morning to cultivate the proper mindset to be able to endure the challenges and the stress that comes with being a small business owner is really what I spend more time with. So I don't get to the point of burnout. You feel me? And then the work-life balance, you know, I spend a lot of money on payroll. And I get criticized for that too sometimes because people think, you know, all that money's not going into my pocket. But you know what? I can't buy back time. I simply cannot buy back time. And that time is important for me to, like today, I'm going to go, my son's got a basketball game. And then after that, we're going to go to Great America, right, for the holiday. I don't get that back. I don't get that back. I drive my kids to school every morning. I'm only going to get that window. My son's got 4 more years of high school. I'll never get that back. So what is that worth to me? It's worth a lot of money, a lot of money. So again, when we talk about that burnout and stress, it's prioritizing what's important, right? And then working methodically, creating a plan to execute that. And if you believe for yourself, you're doing the good work, you know, you're really doing the good work, then you won't beat yourself up so much. Now, I'm not all about decade and decade and decade. You're still stuck at 100 students. I'm not about that. That means you're not doing the right work, right? But I'm definitely not about turning a blind eye to my business and just simply, you know, going home after work and watching reruns of Games of Thrones. And, you know, no freaking way. You got to do the work and you do the right work. It's not stressful when you're living from purpose. It's not. And if you know what your purpose is and you methodically execute that, there's no challenge there. Okay, a couple more questions and I'm going to be getting out of here. Sometimes, okay, that's the passion one. What's this one here?
Let me look at my glasses.
What advice would you give the old school martial artists adapting the new school teaching without compromising their art? You know? Wow. That is my purpose. That is my purpose. That is my purpose. And I'm restructuring a curriculum right now. And the guy said, you guys are good martial artists. That is my priority. Think about a great college that wouldn't put out great graduates. Think about a great cooking school that wouldn't put out, you know, great chefs. Think about a great, you know, trade school that creates auto mechanics. And they put out, you know, their goal is to put out great mechanics. Because if they do, more people want to go to that school. More people are going to get hired. So the thing took me until I was 38 years old. Because I really saw and lived and died by you're either a starving artist or you're a McDojo. You're a black belt factory filled with sales scripts. Can't even throw a front kick, right? And that's what a lot of the old school martial artists do. They just simply dismiss people and say, because you have a lot of students and you make a lot of money, you must suck. I think that's silly. You know, Tesla is one of the most bought cars in the world right now, right? And it's a really good freaking car. I have a Tesla. So I beg to differ on that. I beg to differ, you know, so for me, I want to be really, really mindful that when I decided to throw my hat in the arena at 38 years old, I was a good soldier, tough for my dad. I taught for my other instructor, Rick Alamany. I taught for my instructor, Ralph Castro. When I threw my hat in the arena at the age of 38, I said to myself, I will not compromise the integrity of my art, but I will not be poor and broke in that process. So my goal became maintain the integrity of my art and make really good money. Not okay money, really good money. And we beat last year. San Francisco was a little over 810,000. Last year was 805. And the month's not over, definitely for us. And Millbrae's at 1,031,000. So it'll break the 1,040,000. Right? And again, I will happily show you that in my studio. You can ask Letitia for my tax returns. I have no reason to lie about this stuff at all. At all. It serves no purpose. So once I made that commitment, then the ability to cultivate curriculum that was age specific, skill level specific was important. We had katas and white belt that now sit up in year 4. It's a better learning experience. They're more mature martial artists and they comprehend it better because I'm about learning and comprehension, not simply memorization. And that's, I think, the challenge with a lot of the old school martial arts. They got 50 katas to black belt. It's not necessary. It simply is not. It's not. It's not. It's not. And so it was really cool to say, I know all these katas, but I think it's cooler to say, I know these katas better. Like Bruce Lee said, I don't fear a man that's done 10,000 kicks. I fear a man that's done one kick 10,000 times. So again, maintaining the integrity of our art and so not selling out, not watering it down became a purpose, but I didn't root that in ego and insecurity and narrow-mindedness, right? I really rooted it in Kenpo is a great art. I love, love, love Kenpo, and I want to get it to as many people as I can. I want to make it accessible while still producing great martial artists. So I hope that helps, because I am that old school guy. I started in 1967. You can't get more old school than that. You know, I was in the blood and guts era, fought with no gloves. I'm all busted up now in my 60s. I got floating, you know, I got floaters in this eye of TMJ from getting hit too many times, right? You know, my left foot, my sciatic. I could go on and on with my injuries, on and on, on and on. And at the time, we thought it was cool and it was romantic. But I'm telling you, at almost 62 years old, I'm paying for it. I'm really paying for it. So again, training safely and keeping your body intact is so important. All right, one more question, then we're going to wrap this up. What do we got? If someone is on the fence with working with you, coaching, mentoring, what would you tell them? If someone is on the fence with work, oh, you mean someone wants to work with my coaching or mentoring, or you want them to be part of your business, part of your team or your business? If someone's on the fence with working with you, coaching, mentoring, what would you tell them? I think if they're on the fence, that's perfectly good. I would praise them on their thorough doing wisdom or the group mentoring. You know, I think the biggest thing is I don't sell you my coaching or mentoring because I don't want you to buy something from me. Much like your business, when you get people to believe in what you do, the only way people are going to truly believe in what you do is on their own accord. Because if you're sitting on the fence and you don't know if you want to work with me or not, you know, I'll happily sit on a discovery call with you, but I would no way, shape, or form sell it to you, right? Because really, if you think of some of the most successful programs, let's take AA, right? It's about, you know, it's about attraction, not promotion. Now, we need to promote our businesses responsibly, and I do that with my website and my events and all of that. But when the day's done, when you're all in, you do the work. Because working with me is not easy. It is not easy. You work with me in my coaching or mentoring, you're going to cry. You're going to hate me some days. You're going to work harder than you ever have. You know, people come to me, well, I've been working really hard for 20 years. Now I'm going to work 10 times harder. Yes, because you never did the work you needed to do to begin with. You didn't set up your business properly with a proper business structure. You didn't do your organizational chart. You didn't decide your purpose and your brand. You didn't design a proper logo. You're still using a silhouette of someone kicking in a patch. On and on and on. Because I understand in business that if I want to be successful, I need to wear a lot of hats really, really well. And what I don't know, I can learn. If I was a white belt at one point, and now I'm a black belt, how did I get there? I learned something and I practiced it and I demonstrated proficiently. Same thing here. So yeah, if you're on the fence about working with me, stay on the fence until you decide, right? Talk to Jason Smith. He's a prime example. He followed me at Facebook for years, I think, then came to the two-day event of its time. Then he saw me speak at Harvard and we went to dinner. Then he came back out here for the four-day event. Then after that, he did my It's Time group mentoring for, I think, 8 months. Then after that, he did wisdom with me for 6 months. And now today, Jason's working with me and Marco and Miss Monique, and we're going to facilitate the It's Time group mentoring again. So I applaud Jason for that. I wouldn't hop in feet first with anybody anyways. And you pray a pretty penny to work with me. Everybody knows that. It's posted right there at Wisdom. I don't hide anything about that. So if you're on the fence, stay on the fence. Because when you feel empowered within yourself to get off that fence and decide you're going to go all in and work with me, we will get results, but make no mistake, you got to do the work. You got to do the freaking work. Cool? All right. So, hey, that's part one. I think we should pick this up, Marco. You know, when we come back next week, you know, I'm off the whole week, so we'll do a rerun, but maybe the week after that, because this has been amazing. You know, and I love your questions, and I want so many more of them. Thank you, Sensei Mish. Any level of mentoring from Professor is worth it. And that's it. You know, I won't guarantee you anything. That's a lie. Nobody can guarantee you anything. It's simply a lie. I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. It's not right to do because the one variable I can't control is you. I can't control if you're going to do the work or not do the work. I can't do that. I can't. But make no mistake, I will turn your life upside down because I look at every aspect of what you do, every aspect. Because who knows where the hole is in your game? Who knows where the weak link is? But every bit of your business needs to be addressed. because you build this great business and there's something lurking in the shadows that's unstable, like a house of cards, it's going to fall. So every aspect of your business needs to be looked at and needs to be turned over and turned over. And you know, it's just, it's really the way it has to be done. Merry Christmas to you and your family too. So again, what do we got coming up? We have It's Time Live Canada. I'm going to post the link for that. Sign up, please. Only 20 spots. It's the most intense 4 days you'll ever get. It's Time Life Purpose, right? That's coming up as well. That's next November. But why do we post it now? Because you want to get the tax write-off before the end of 2023. That is smart business. And the best investment you could possibly make is in yourself. I want to thank my sponsors, you know, year in and year out. Toussaint, I've been with them for a long time. They've been a sponsor of my shows and my events. Market Muscles, my studio. Again, people I've been with since almost the start of their companies. Loyalty. You know, I say this painstakingly. I once was with sponsorship with Rainmaker. And then Two, who's my good buddy and my brother, brought my studio to me. At the time, it was just an events And then Two decided to become a CRM system, much like Rainmaker. And I chose to go with Two. And I said to the people at Rainmaker at the time, Scott Doloff, sir, it's got nothing to do with this other than Two is my friend and I'm loyal to Two for that. And at the time, my studio wasn't even a sustainable product. It was in its infancy. But my loyalty to my friend Two was my decision in that process. So it was nothing. And that's probably another controversy that sits out there. I think Scott Doloff and everybody at Rainmaker are good people. And if you use Rainmaker, more power to you. It was just simply a loyalty thing to my friend too. And that was the long and short. But when that first happened, everybody was up in arms about, you know, me leaving Rainmaker and all of that stuff. And it had nothing to do other than Two is my brother. And it was my loyalty to Two. That's all that was. So again, one more myth to dispel. And then Kids Love Life Skills. Of course, you need character development. Reach out to Marco, Letitia, you know, anyone that uses it. It's used in over 450 schools worldwide. It's a very sustainable life skills system, easy to implement. One, I encourage everybody to at least check out. And then LC Accounting, my sister Letitia. I love you. I love you. Thank you for everything you do for me, my sister. So I want to wish everybody happy birthday, Jesus. Can I say that? You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I won't see you next week. I won't see you till the new year. Let's make the last week or so really strong. If it's taking a vacation and chilling out, fine. Our numbers in our schools have done really well. And I know in the next week we'll do even better because we have a tuition increase in January. So organically, we let some of our long-term students purchase a year pay in full. We're not big on cash outs. We're not big on that because it kind of overinflates a month and makes our numbers look a little better. We're cash in, cash out. But for our longtime members, again, retention, it's something that we offer so they can get the current rate for 1 year paid in full, right? And avoid the tuition increase for another year. You with me on that? Cool. All right. Hey, thank you so much. You know, I hope this has helped. Again, I want to live in love, empathy, tolerance, acceptance, patience, diversity. We don't all think the same, nor should we, but it doesn't mean I have to hate you for it. I have to talk poorly about you for it. You know, if I can be empathetic and respect you for who you are and applaud you that you have the courage to be you, values and all, opinions and all, then I'm learning to become a better version of myself. Cool? All right. Hey, I'm Brandon Beliso. This is Success Never Sleeps. Until we talk again, what are you going to go out there and do? Live your best life.